I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Gregorino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Oh, yeah, you've got your radio on. At least I hope you do. If you're out there and you're a roadrunner or anything else, you're a faux roadrunner, you could be in, you name it. As long as you listen to Motormouth Radio, you are hooked up because you have tuned into Long Island's only automotive talk show with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, man over there on the computer, Chris Switzer.
Hi.
Hi, Chris.
You can hear me. Great.
You should be here today, Chris. We've got a full studio, and we've had absolute insanity going on here before the show.
Really?
Yeah. I'll introduce you to our guests. We have Rich and Steve from Long Island Mopar, longislandmopars.com.
Hey, Rich. Us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Chris.
And we have Christian, another Christian in the studio, who is a student here at Nassau Community College who wants to start a car club, and he's a Mopar guy.
Hey, oh, my gosh, Chris? Another one.
Imagine that. So we're stacked and racked. We're going to have a great time today, and we invite your calls, letters, and telegrams. At least you can send the calls to 516-572-7440. If you want to follow us, we're on Instagram. Well, we'll save Instagram. We're on Twitter and the web. At Motormouth Radio and MotormouthRadio.com, of course, the website. And Joe's favorite is Instagram, which is real_MotormouthRadio. And that's where we put pictures and posts of things we get involved with. I put one up last night. I was back in Audi territory, but that's a story for another day. So today we
are,
you know, Chris, we're fulfilling our Mopar Mouth Radio prophecy. Because, of course, now we have the local guys. We've gone with the Mark Warmans and the Tony D'Agostinos and help me.
We went with Steve Magnante.
Steve Magnante.
I write it down.
Now we got the local guys.
I'm telling you, Ray, I have Mopar up to my lower lip here. I mean, I'm starting to get rust in my quarters.
What a surprise.
The rest of my quarters, my seats are starting to split. My dash is starting to crack. I got Mopar up to the wazoo here.
We're going to get into this. Yeah, Rich and Steve, Chris has a couple of Mopars now, one of which is a C-body. And we're finding out, oh good, we got a C-body guy in the studio, Chris.
Couple of them.
Hey,
because we're finding
you have company, Chris.
C-body
who
love.
Who feels my pain?
Yeah. It's hard to get a handle on this stuff, so we will talk about it, for sure. So,
yes.
What's up, Rich, with the club? Give us a quick recap of...
Where we are now, we're into our 15th season, hard to believe. It all started kind of, hey, you want to start a club? And my first response to that was, what are you, out of your mind?
Yeah.
And here we are now, we're over 1,300 members. And we're still doing kind of sort of the same thing. We're always looking for new and different locations. It's one of my biggest challenges, finding new stuff all the time. We keep in, you know, all of our regulars, like Hot Rod Burger King and Beth Page. That's got a very big, rich history from years ago. That was the Hot Rod Hangout on Fridays and Saturdays, I believe. Steve knows he was part of that deal,
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
And you were there. And the follow-on race up to Seaford Oyster Bay, you had the straightaway, remember? We didn't do that.
No. We heard about it, though.
But we enjoy our physical cruises. We still love to do that if we can. We've gone Riverhead Cider House. We've gone to the wineries out east. So, and we're still doing it all dues free. You know, it's my labor of love. I enjoy all of it, even though it's a fair amount of work, but it's just what we have to keep going and doing.
And I think you have probably the largest membership in a Mopar club.
I would say we're probably the largest in the nation, if not, you know, in the top three.
What's the count? What's
the
number?
We're roughly 1,300 right
now.
You know? So we just keep moving onward and upward.
I'd be afraid to take my Pontiac out.
I was looking for it in a parking lot. I didn't see it. I said, he's not here yet.
Couldn't dig it out today. Couldn't dig it out. I'm actually driving one of the family cars because I'm doing some diagnostics, trying to get a catalytic converter to get into line before it needs an inspection. So I'm doing some drivability stuff, and you know it's boring, but you got to do it. So get it out on the highway, put some miles on it. So.
Ray, it's not boring to put the car on Craigslist and sell it.
No, that's not at all. Of course.
You know, that's always very exciting.
You're right. You're right. But makes for good radio too, Chris, doesn't it? Yeah. So
is selling vehicles.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's Chris's forte is the selling of the vehicles. He loves to buy, sell, and flip. That's me. I'm a keeper.
You know? Me too.
Yeah.
So is Steve.
What's the longest lineage age car that you have in your collection, Steve?
It's actually my first convertible, a 69 Cornet RT.
Nice.
I got it back in 88.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's quite a rare car. What, 400 or 500 maybe made?
About 430 something.
All right. Well, I think I got you beat on the timeline, not the rarity. I've had my Pontiac since 75.
Nice.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was in high school.
Wow.
You know, bought it and just refused, just, you know, like it. So I kept it. So, you know, Christian's taking notes because he's I love having the guys who are at the other end of our hobby who are coming up through it.
Mm-hmm.
But Christian has a dad who's into it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him about your stable, Christian. What's in your fleet?
Well, the main cars in the fleet is a 1969 half Dodge Super B, the black fiberglass liftoff hood. Mm-hmm. Also, an 07 Charger, and my personal favorite, my 1970 Dodge Coronet RT.
Yeah, cool. I have a convertible in that car.
Mm-hmm.
It's either you love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's got the bow tie front bumpers,
right.
Not your standard straight across bumper. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's it. Nothing else except for Dodge Durango and my Ford Ranger that's sitting out in the parking lot right now.
Okay.
With Keystones.
With Keystones.
Keystone wheels, wow.
Very cool.
Nice.
Well, you know, Keystones always look right on a Mopar. I had a set of Keystones on a Chevy once. And I, you know, they were too classy. They just didn't work on the 65 Chevy. But on the Mopar, for some reason, they look right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys explain why? I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why that is. Because other people agree on that. And even Mark Warman does.
Stockton Martin used them, and I think that was a big thing. I'm more of a Krager guy. I just love the look of a Krager and seeing the reflection on the street as you drive in. It's so cool.
That's one of the things I like about Graveyard Cars, that Mark is now doing day two additions to the cars, which is how I grew up.
Right.
You know, nobody knew. We didn't. Well, Chris, you knew from stock when you were growing up. You were a stockaholic, but not me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was a speed shop guy, so.
But, no, Ray knows all too well. I was the guy that tried to find all of the options for the car, the original options that whatever came with the car, find them in junkyards and on other cars, and then retrofit them on the car that you own. And that was always my joy. I always enjoy doing that. That instead of hopping them up like Ray did, like modifying them, make them faster and that sort of way, I always went the kind of like the classic way. And it's just as painful, I've come to realize.
Well, we had junkyards you could go to and take parts out of. It was doable. You know, now it's like Chris is trying to find parts for the C-body he has, and it's like unobtainium.
Right.
And what's in the yard has been there for 40 years, and half of it's back to the earth.
Right.
You know, so
if
you need a part that's low.
So what do you guys do? What do you do to scavenge for parts? I mean, have you gotten to the point where you just go to the catalog and open it up and start thumbing through and memorize your credit card number? Or do you really go out there and start looking? What's your solution?
Craigslist.
eBay is good. eBay is excellent for parts. I go to a lot of the Mopar shows, so you know, there's always a couple of C-body guys there.
Murray Park is one of the big ones.
Ohio.
I had sent you the link to that. He's big. He specializes in C-body. But Carlisle is the big one. We look forward to that every year. Rows and rows and rows. Probably the biggest in the world as far as parts go.
Right.
I was at Carlisle this year. It was mesmerizing.
The spring or fall or July?
Fall.
Okay,
it was
fall Carlisle.
It was the summertime.
It
was...
Mopars at Carlisle. Okay.
Yeah.
July.
A lot of C-bodies there.
Yeah, there weren't too many.
They have a C-body row. They have all lined up, usually.
Oh, yeah, the cars were there, but not too many parts.
Yeah, it's tough to find.
I bought an AM FM radio for an Imperial. That doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
What year Imperial?
The radio I bought was from a 72 Imperial, but what's nice is that it can fit into the section of the dashboard.
The cutout.
On my 69.
Oh, okay.
So it literally fits right in, and it looks perfect. It's not a 69 unit, but I'm not really a fan of the slide knobs, the thumb knob.
Thumb wheels.
Yes, I like a nice round radio knob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I'm used to. Yeah.
So that didn't start till 70. Yep.
Yeah.
Sell that car, damn it. Buy another one. Go find a 70. Yeah, like it's easy to do.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that I know Chrysler guys always get ingenious when it comes down to the soft stuff, like the dash pads, like the seat covers, or the material, like the door panels. Those are the things that I am learning now how to revive, how to find, how to try and get the recondition, I should say, because a lot of that stuff, I hate to say it, it's not GM quality. Unfortunately, I hate, save your cards and letters, I get it. But I've noticed that, the interior on my 69 is the plastic on the door panels is literally starting to crack when you touch it.
Well, yeah, but Chris, if you took a 69 Impala, it's going to be, at this day and age, I mean, anything is going to be, falling apart.
And that is the truth. I still haven't wrapped the thought around the fact that these cars are 50 years old.
That's the thing. We still think of them as being...
They're still used cars to me.
Look, I watch Adam 12 and they talk about a late model and it's, it's a 68. I'm like, yeah, right.
Okay. So please, don't throw rocks. I get it.
No, I mean, the soft stuff has got it. I mean, that stuff, a lot of it went within 10 years, seals and whatnot, window stuff, but the hard parts. Now it's just getting harder because the cars are that much older. And Christian, what do you and your dad do for finding parts?
Honestly, we try looking through the catalogs to find new and improved stuff. Mm-hmm. But honestly, we mostly just go to Craigslist, eBay, or just drive around town trying to find used cars on the side of the road.
Around town. Wow, the old school way of doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you couldn't find for one of your cars?
Maybe seats for my 1970 Dodge.
Okay, well, seat frames now are worth a lot of money. Yeah,
yeah.
You need just not the covers, but the entire seat. I take it.
Yes, we need everything.
Yeah, okay. That you're better off at a show like Carlisle or something like that. The Mopar Nats in Columbus.
Yep.
That's where you'll find that. Just be ready to haul it home
and pony up.
Up my bank account.
Yeah, you need a few C-notes in your pocket, because seats, I know even the GM bucket seats, I see them go for like $200, $300 a piece sometimes. Yeah.
And they need recovering?
Yeah. Now, they're selling the frames. And I don't know if guys get that kind of money. They're asking it. I don't know. They're not making any new ones, so, so I don't know.
And sometimes, too, like Chris, you could send your old seat covers to Legendary. I believe they can, maybe send you some samples, but they can somehow just, measure it up and produce new seat covers for you. I don't know what it goes for, but, this is what they do day in, day out.
Well, when we bought the car home, we weren't sending anything except for a milk crate. So we went to one of the local car shows and swap meets found racing seats for about $100.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
okay. Something.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the other thing. If you want to go with non-stock stuff, Chris is trying to keep his car more on a stock vein, and it's harder to find those original parts.
Just to jump in for one second, I have even double trouble because the driver's seat that I have is a straight bench, and I'd like to find the one with the armrest.
Yeah.
So with the armrest, with the headrests, I have neither on mine. It's like a taxicab seat, basically. I don't know why, but the car has a strange history. I didn't do it.
And now it's even stranger because you own it. Chris, I'm going to give you a tidbit of information that you didn't know. Now, there happens to be a 55 Nomad in my driveway that's been in my family forever. My brother owned it. I owned it. My friend Tom owned it. Everybody owned it.
It's, you mean, just your ashtray.
Exactly. Your ashtray. Now there's a cat living in it. It's just – but when Tom was driving that car, and we were storming the streets in the early mid-70s in that car, it had this seat in it. I'm like, wow, where'd you, it was a cool seat. It was a high back bucket seats, which looked like, but it was a bench.
Okay.
With a fold. And it was out of, I think, a Sebring or a Satellite. And I said, you got a Chrysler, got a Mopar seat in this car? I'll tell you something, I wish it was there today, because it was such a cool seat. It looked like the high back buckets right. when the armrest was down, right. and yet you could flip it up and you had the girlfriend room to come across, you know? Uh-huh. So, yeah, that car had a Mopar seat, Chris.
Wow, amazing. And you know what? I see those seats all the time, the high backs, right. but I can't put that in the 69, because, like the club guys know, it's not the right seat.
Yeah.
True. Someone's going to look at that. A trained eye is going to look at that car and go, nope, doesn't belong.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our first break, and we're going to take care of a little bit of business, because that was kind of the arguments that were going on before the show started about business. So we're going to do that. Everybody, stick where you got it. Stay where you are. We're going to come back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We got Christian. We got Steve. And we got everybody. Rich. We got them all. We're talking about Kreger's and Keystone Classics on Mopars. So let's go back to one of the songs that was in the 8-track in those days that we all listened to on Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
Nassau Community College is here to support your goal to obtain a degree or certificate or enhance your skills to advance your career.
Several programs are offered at a convenient time on the weekend where you can attend classes Friday evening through Sunday.
In addition, you can complement face-to-face classes with distance education courses which can be taken online.
More information about the programs and courses that are offered on the weekend can be found by contacting the Office of Workforce Development and Lifelong Learning at 516-572-3554 or email weekendcollege@ncc.edu.
This show is brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs, with three Long Island locations close to Nassau Community College, including 202 Glen Cove Road in Carl Place, 988 Hempstead Turnpike in Uniondale, and now open at 2345 Jericho Turnpike in Garden City Park. The menu at Jersey Mike's Subs includes their juice, a red wine vinegar and olive oil blend, plus cooked-in-store roast beef, baked-in-store breads, and more. Information about Jersey Mike's Subs can be found by calling Carl Place at 516-865-1200. Uniondale at 516-307-1200, Garden City Park at 516-619-1400, or by visiting jerseymikes.com.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mouths help you out at 516-572-7440.
All right, we were just doing some headbanging, 8-track swapping, all sorts of stuff here on Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, we have Rich, Steve, and Christian in the studio. And the echo is back. And your calls at 516-572-7440. Chris, we were talking about your car on the break. Wherever you are. Yes. That was our topic of conversation.
It's a unique vehicle. It started out, at least from what we can figure out, because it has a very low production number. So let's start with that. It was built September 16th of 68. It started out, I think, as a Newport, and some adventurous soul decided to retrofit the Chrysler 300 bumpers on it front and back, and even went as far as to put the 300 on the quarter panels. But it still has a 383 in it, and it had a two-barrel that someone dropped an Edelbrock manifold and a four-barrel Holley on it. Mm-hmm. It runs really strong. It only has like 65,000 miles on it, and it's nothing. There's not really much rust to talk about, like little tiny pinholes here and there, but nothing bad.
But you know what? Now put the brakes on it. Put the brakes on it because the lights flare. The light's flashing. And we're going to do this. We're going to go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
How you doing, guys? I I have a Honda Odyssey 2002, has about 118,000 miles in it, and about 3 or 4 years ago, it suffered from a transmission difficulty where it would slide in and out of the gears and have trouble, you know, it would have trouble going over huge mountains like the Throgs Neck Bridge. And I called you guys because I said that one of my local auto guy said he wanted over $3,000 to replace the transmission, and this was maybe at the time a 14-year-old car. And so then I got another idea of calling a transmission place, and they wanted maybe $200 to look at it and check it out and so forth and so on. And I wanted to say how much I appreciate that, because at the time you talked about the two schools of thought. One school was to replace everything, mm-hmm. you know, and the other school of thought was to the incremental fixing. And well, I went with the incremental fixing, saved myself $3,200 or something like that, and the car is still running, and still running pretty well, you know. And excellent. I wanted to thank you so much for that advice you gave me so many years ago.
Let me just ask you, who are we speaking with? What's your name?
My name is Lloyd.
Okay, Lloyd.
And I don't, you know, at my age, the years go by so quickly. It could have been 2 years, it could have been four years. I don't even know anymore. But the car, I mean, for $200, if it's 2 years, that's $100 a year. If it's 4 years, you know, it's a McDonald's meal. So that's right. You know, so that was really good advice, because at that time, $3,400 or something was kind of blue book, you know, for the car. Yeah. And it was a very awful quandary to want to, you know, dump out $3,400 when I could buy a used one, not that I would, you know, for that kind of money. So,
right. Very true.
Know.
Well, thanks for the call, Lloyd. We appreciate that. And that's what we're here for, to help you out with stuff like that.
Yeah. And have a very good weekend. And thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Lloyd. We had a couple other callers. You can call back if you like, Chris. See, we're still guys. That's what happens. We could be on a topic and we get a call that takes us somewhere else. But that's
the funny thing, and that's Lloyd's actually super correct as far as get it checked out. And sometimes incremental repairs are the way to go, and sometimes just right. You know, Ray, you know the way I like to handle sensors. I just throw them all at the car.
Well, I don't know if your camera sensor can see the light, but it is flashing again.
Go ahead.
So we're gonna go back to the phones and say hi. You're on the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's going on? So I called in about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I talked to you about, I don't know if you guys remember, about the 1995 Toyota Camry.
Rob.
That I did a brake job on it.
Yes, Rob.
And the pad, I couldn't get the pads in the caliper.
Yes, correct.
All right, so, you know, I'm not a mechanic by trade, but I'm mechanically inclined, and I do brake plate, you know, brake jobs periodically to my cars.
Yeah.
And when you put the tabs into the caliper, like the new slides that they give you?
Yes.
So that was the problem. Behind the slide, there was a little shim stuck to the slide. So if you take that shim out and you put the slide right onto the caliper bracket,
uh-huh.
then the brake pad fits in. So why do they put those little shims in there?
Well,
what is that for?
I'll tell you this. The shims are very, very important, and Rich just made the universal motion of vibration. They are there to cut down on vibration, which causes brake squeal and things like that. I follow a lot of stuff on brakes. I a lot of technical articles I read, and it is so important. Now, if you physically couldn't fit the brakes in without it, it's just a matter of the pads being not the OEM pads. But if it worked, fine. Just keep in mind, if you do develop some brake squeals or noises, and especially after a few thousand miles, if you didn't get rid of those shims, you can put them back in. You can put them in later.
Sure.
So, but that's it, Rob. That was the problem. That was it right there. Wherever you are.
We lost him.
We did lose Robbie. You know what? We're going to go to another caller and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, Joe from Lindbergh. I haven't called you guys in a while. What's going on?
Hey, Joe. Oh, Chris, this is one of your favorite buddies from years back, Joe in Lindbergh with the minivan, right?
Yeah, it's take your hats off, boys. It's been laid to rest. They said this is a junkyard.
Oh, okay. What are you driving these days, Joe? Hope it's a Mopar.
Town and Country, 2009.
There we go. Okay.
another piece of junk from Chrysler.
Yeah, well, gets you around, right? Gets the groceries.
He gets groceries. Yeah, he gets like M&Ms and the brakes and rotors.
Oh, good. All right.
Good. You're such a funny guy.
Well, listen, what do you want me to say to you? You're telling me your car, you don't like your car, it eats gas. What do you want me to do? I have like an El Morte, I do like a Novena? Is there a point?
Show me how to tie up the gas miles, this thing.
Is that nothing. Well, is that the point to this phone call? Because right now I'm not understanding what it is you want me to tell you.
I want to give you... What? All right, how you doing? You guys doing all right?
Yes, we're doing fine, Joe.
I heard from you guys, the ex started all these from late to rest. I'm sorry, but what can I do?
Yeah.
I broke my heart, but I had to get rid of her.
All right, it happens. We all go through that, you know?
No, but the more important about the tire cars, I'm just trying to figure out a couple of things about the master cylinder and stuff.
Okay.
Because the brakes, I changed the brakes all the way around. I checked the rotors, I checked the pads, calibers. It's like I keep on filling up with brake fluid, and the brake is still going down. I just can't understand it. It's not leaking anywhere.
Well, I'm gonna correct you there. If you're filling the master cylinder and the fluid is going down, it's leaking somewhere, without a doubt. Now, I'll tell you this: if you don't see it out on the ground, one of the places that happens is the seal in the back of the master cylinder will fail, and it goes into the brake booster, and it gets sucked into the engine from engine vacuum. So you'll never see that leak unless you take the master off and see the witness trail through the booster.
Yep.
All right, so the whole master cylinder's got to come off.
But
on
a town of country, good luck getting in there and getting that thing off because it's tight. You may want to bring it to a shop. Yeah.
Is that really that tight to master cylinder?
It is. It's not impossible. Listen, I've done more impossible things, but it's not like working on a slant six unless you
do points. I learned some tricks to the street mechanic. His name is Wild Mike. You see him in Lindbergh?
Okay.
He doesn't want to be talked about too much, but he showed me how to take off the motor mounts and drop the Chrysler engine down. Drop it down to like you lift the whole car up and the engine comes down.
Okay.
I didn't realize that.
Right.
And he amazed me. He dropped it on blocks. It was like, wow.
Right.
You can easily access stuff right after that.
Yep.
He said with one of the motor mounts on the top, you could rotate the engine back to you to change the back plugs.
Yes.
But those are almost possible to change too.
There is a tool that once you release the motor mount, it's a big kind of handle that kind of articulates and pulls the engine forward and locks in place, and then you can get to the back. The Oldsmobiles were like that back in the 80s. So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But
those are the tips and tricks that you need to know, yeah. Yeah.
I know, but he's a good street mechanic. I give him his props. You know, he deserves a lot of props.
Good deal.
A good guy. He's helped me out a lot of times.
Excellent.
But, all right, guys, thank you for your input. I'm going to have to look into this. So, thank you so much.
Okay, Joe.
You have a great day. I hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, so long. All right. That Joe used to call us years ago. You know, when Chris and I were doing even a Thursday show, he was calling us with this minivan that he was trying to keep running. And, you know. But be like Joe. You know, I know Chassis John is out there. Macho Man Brian is listening. Mike, the Mikes are listening, of course. Vince and Girard, our trucker friends, are listening. Christian and Girard, our motorcycle friends, listening. And there's somebody else listening who's on the end of this button. And I'll push it and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths now.
Hey, what's going on? Let me ask you one more quick question. If somebody out there or someone listening might be have a little callback feedback.
Yeah.
1995 Toyota Camry, 2.2 liter, 4-cylinder, automatic transmission.
Uh-huh.
So I'm in reverse. I'm going in reverse, and I just hit the shift lever. As I was going in reverse, shift hit it into neutral, and pop. Now I got no reverse in the car whatsoever.
Wow.
So there was nothing wrong with the transmission. Usually with a transmission problem, you something going on, it slips, you hear it. This was, everything was working perfectly fine. I had the car going in reverse, and I hit neutral by mistake, you know, and then it went from reverse to neutral, and now I got no reverse. So it's
reverse to
simple.
Neutral isn't, I mean, neutral to reverse, or that's...
Shouldn't hurt you.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, on that car, you got, you got drive, then you got neutral,
right.
A reverse, and then park.
Sure.
So I was going in reverse, and I pushed the lever back by mistake, and it popped into neutral.
Yeah, that doesn't really hurt anything. I mean, unless you're going 8,000 RPM, which you weren't, I'm sure.
I mean, could it be a pin? Could it be a linkage cable?
I doubt it. You know what, Rob? I got a friend that I'll ask in the tranny business, and I'll see if I can get you an answer on that.
Yeah, get back to you.
Okay.
Thank you, bro.
All right. So long. That's one of those unexplainables, like, geez, what could have happened? I don't know. Yeah, that's an oddball. How's the new cars holding up? What's that, Chris?
My dog was alive one day, and then the next day he's gone.
I know. Yeah.
It fails. It's as simple as that. Try and figure it out while we're here on the phone or here in the studio is almost impossible. No. But go right ahead.
All right. Just talking to Kim for a second off air. I hope you were talking.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, good. So nobody was talking.
I can't see you.
I know. And we have the camera set up, too. It's actually pointed at the thing.
It's not working.
Yeah, I guess not.
I get to see the disc. That's
so just a little operational. Kill Skype on your end, and I want to see if that makes this echo go away.
Oh, it will.
Because if it's not working, sure we might as well, But what you can tune in is on this station, Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Sonic Cinema. Ray Schwetz takes you inside the movies, just like the best films. The show is an escape for any movie and movie score fans. How to just sneak that in there. So, there we go. You know what? I think this is a good time for another break. We'll take a quickie. Chris can adjust the stuff on his end. We'll come back with more Mopar stuff. And we got a song. Yes, we do. So, keep it where you got it. Motormouth Radio, Race, Chris, we got Rich, we got Steve, we got Christian, we got them all. Keep it where you have, keep it where you got it. We'll be back in a minute on 90.3 WHPC.
This program on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the NYCB Theater at Westbury, who presents Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, Abbey Lane Live, on Thursday, March 19th at 8 p.m. More information is available online at thetheateratwestbury.com.
All hit music.
For all those songs radio has forgotten about, join me, Big Ed, Mondays from 10 a.m. till noon for the Good Gold Show. We'll bring back all the great hits of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and more. The sounds of doo-wop to disco, all the Motown, soul, and great rock and roll. We'll even take your requests and dedications to the Good Gold Show.
Music.
On the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
Three Little Pigs, Green Jelly, The Rock Overdose, 90.3 WHPC. That was requested by one of the DJs who's been here for such a long time, Ray Guarino, who does Motormouth Radio on Sundays 12 to 1 on 90.3 WHPC. Definitely got to check it out. Ray and Joe, really good friends of mine now. We did a remote recently. You know, I'm not a big car guy, but they definitely are. So if you're big into mechanics and stuff, then definitely give them a listen, because I know Ray and Joe, they definitely know what they're talking about. I wish I knew what they were talking about, but you know what? I might as well just keep hanging out with them. That way I learn a little more. 90.3 WHPC.
All right, all the fun and frivolity aside, we're back. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We got a full studio. We got the Long Island Mopar guys in, as well as Christian, who's looking to start a car club. It's Chris, you should be here today. This is a day, boy, that you would want to just be a part of the face-to-face.
No, definitely. I wish I was.
Oh, we're having
That's
a ball.
For sure. It sounds like you're having a good time in the studio.
We are having a ball, yes.
Nice.
So.
Nice. And they are getting to witness live radio at its best, pretty much.
Right? And we're witnessing the phone ringing again, so we're going to push the buttons, go live, and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hi, Ray. Barry from the People's Republic of Syosset calling. I'll tell you, Mopar, I didn't think much about it, but my Uncle Jack and his brother, they had a high-performance shop in the Bronx, and my aunt had a Valiant. It had the purple cam in it, had the banana ram intake, and that That car ran like stink.
Wow. What year was that, Barry? How long ago was that?
I think it was a 61.
Okay.
Plymouth Valiant. And my dad had a Plymouth Fury with the push-button tranny.
There you go.
Unbelievable. I just want to tell you, I actually called up with a problem, but I could BS with you guys for hours. I love the Chrysler Power Book. You remember the Power Book?
That I don't know. Well, I was never really a Chrysler guy until I worked on a few and then I owned a few, but I was around some real diehards. I remember there was a what the hell did they call it? It was a high performance catalog that was put out through a dealership network. It was all the high performance stuff for the Chryslers.
Yeah, I think it was the Power Book had a lot of technical engineering stuff about how to increase the flow on the head and get bigger valves and all that.
That had to be it. Yeah, you could build an
excellent
engine. You could build an engine.
I didn't want to change the subject, but your flow today is excellent. On the 88 Pontiac Sunbird, there's a coolant temperature gauge, which is part of the cluster. There's the speedo, and there's also the fuel gauge. The temperature gauge, it indicates, but it doesn't like go down to, it goes like from 100 to 260 degrees, but it doesn't like stop. When it's cold, it's not at 100, it's like at 140. And I can never really determine the exact temperature of the coolant because, the gauge is, something's wrong with it. I can't get a schematic, can't get parts, nobody knows nothing about it, you know?
Yeah, the thing I like to do is use a good known secondary gauge and verify temperature. But direct connection is what we were thinking of. That's
direct connection.
Everybody's blowing up the outlines here. Direct connection was that network.
Right. Yeah.
A known gauge, or the easiest thing a lot of times, just pull a wire off the sending unit on the engine. They're known to build up a little corrosion. That'll throw your readings off all the time.
Absolutely.
Okay. One other thing, I tried removing that connector. It's in the block.
Yeah.
And I cannot get the it's right underneath the distributor. And I cannot get that out. It's like locked in there somehow. Is there a way to twist it? It's just like, you gotta use a puller or something, a remover to get that plastic piece off the sender.
You gotta be careful. Yeah, I was just working on a 2010 Audi yesterday. And the same day I had to release all the connectors from the coil packs and a couple of other senders. And that's a 2010, and one of them snapped. I mean, plastic just doesn't, it dries out over time. So you got to be careful. You really got to be careful with that. But I'd say get a good strong light, maybe even a magnifying glass, and get a good look at it first to see if you can determine how to approach that. That's what I do. I use two magnifying glasses.
One other thing, like the Sunbird is not like a valued car, and I can't get any parts. You can't get anything to restore or rebuild or do anything on that. But I'll there might be corrosion there, and that's not allowing it to get a full circuit.
Absolutely, correct. You're right. Well, Barry, follow up on that. Let us know how you make out with that in the future if you solve that problem.
I will, and tell Joe best of, I don't know what he's going through, but I hope things are working out because I miss his crazy jokes.
He's in the cloud. He's been sending texts. I'm going to go see him after the show. I'll pass it along, Barry. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So long. All right, Chris, here's a guy that likes a Sunbird. Chris used to drive a Sunbird for years.
I was just thinking that. I would just pretty much just go for the coolant sender unit. It's like a $30 item.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, it's like you guys have hit it on the head. It's a corrosion issue. And a lot of times, it's within the sender unit itself. And it really isn't a hard job to repair.
No.
But I do remember Barry, he said something about it being under the distributor. I do remember it being near the distributor. I don't remember it being under there, but
whatever. Yeah, close enough.
Wipe the cobwebs off that one.
That's something, Rich, something we talked about with Mark Warman and even with Tony. Chris brought this up the week after. We were talking about how a lot of the guys on the shows are very, like Mark Warman is very, very pointed with E-bodies and now the Bs, but like he doesn't delve into the Cs or the A-bodies as much. Mm. Whereas, like, your average guys like us that grew up working on everything, whether it was you might have had a Chevelle in the family, and then you had a Chrysler, and then maybe there was a Ford. You had to know all this stuff, and then you learned about interchange.
Mm-hmm.
it made us realize how special the car community is for the knowledge. We don't realize how much stuff is out there amongst our peers. So that was just something I wanted to throw out there and get your take on that, if you if there's any thoughts floating through your head. But
yeah, there's a lot of commonality with anything. You work on these cars for years and years, and you know, you see the same type thing over and over again. You learn, you make your mistakes, but electrical, anything electrical, has got to be clean, got to be tight.
Right.
You know, that's the critical stuff.
You know, it depends on your background, too. Yeah, it depends on your background. We're going to jump to the phones again, Chris. We got another one on the line. We're going to push the buttons and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller, long-time listener.
And who are we speaking to?
This is Keith from Valley Stream.
Oh, Keith, pleasure to have you on the show. What can we help you with?
Well, we were talking about brakes before, and I got an O2 Avalanche, and the ABS sensor is kicking in constantly. And I've been told that it could be the hub, it could just be bad tire pressure. And
yes and yes.
I was wondering, like, what you got to add to that.
Both of those are viable alternatives. You get an ABS light, you said, correct?
Yeah, well, I get the light occasionally and the brake light occasionally. I had the same thing on my 04 ZR2 Blazer,
mm-hmm.
and that has never had an impact on whether or not it was working properly.
All right. Well, the thing to do is the ABS working? Can you activate it?
Oh, it activates. As a matter of fact, it doesn't allow me to stop very easily sometimes at a low speed.
Okay, so it's okay. Scanner. Yeah. You need a scan tool that can look at the ABS system in the car, and it can actually do what's called bidirectional control, where you can command a sensor to work and then have it come back. That's the way you got to do
it. Sometimes, because when I have put a scanner on it, it just caught it at a moment where it was working fine. You know, of course, you know, never makes a noise when you bring it someplace.
Exactly, yes. It's like going to the doctor. I know. Yeah. But what you touched on something interesting. The Rob is hearing a lot of feedback from the radio.
It's the guy calling in. He's got to lower his radio.
Oh. If you have a radio on, Keith, do me a favor, lower it down because we're hearing some feedback.
Oh, I'm not.
I know.
The radio's off.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. Okay.
I know better.
What the subject with the tire pressure and the wheel bearing hub, those come up in service all the time, where they can be so out of spec, even tire pressure could be out of spec, and it can it actually affects the ABS. But if you know your tire pressure,
just at the very least, it has to be even, or the four tires just have to be even.
You should follow the placard that's in the door. Look at that, and unless you have aftermarket tires and you've changed the sizes, go by what they say. As a baseline, especially, and go from there. But you may, you know, with how many miles are on the vehicle?
I got about 180,000.
Yeah, with that, I mean, any component can fail at any time. So could it be a sensor? Sure.
Look, I know the brake system. I had gotten the truck about a year ago, and prior to that, the brake system had been gone through pretty extensively by the previous owner, who was a family member.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, I don't know what they did or didn't do.
Well, no, and not even that. Everything could have been hunky-dory, 100% fine, and now that an ABS sensor failed.
Right.
You know, there's a tone ring. The sensor takes there's a frequency. You can actually measure it if you know how to do it. You can measure the frequency.
Gotcha.
It's a little more than the average guy in the street's going to do, but it's not impossible to do at home. Also, you can get in there and just clean it off.
I have
and get
a pretty good home job,
it.
You know, and I am an electrician by trade, mechanic by hobby, so I tend to
go in there and where the sensor, the air gap between the sensor and the tone ring, it builds up brake dust, and it's magnetic.
Right.
Clean all of that off, and then see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, take it a step at a time. But call us back and let us know how you make out.
Okay, that's not too difficult to get apart either. I mean, it's basic, pretty standard tools.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Very good. Thanks.
All right, Keith. Let us know. Thank you.
I will.
All righty. So long. All right. Brakes. Yeah, like you said, Rich, it's the same thing with electrical connections. You always want to look for corrosion. Clean them off. Grounds. That's a big thing with us with grounds. You always want to make sure that the grounds are good. Clean them and, you know, ground integrity is key. And stuff like this. I mean, I've seen it on my own cars, like the brake dust that builds up on a sensor like that.
Yeah, the visual inspections were always the way to go first. Before you start replacing any parts, you know, in the day, even still, a certain amount of vacuum hoses can chafe or break or come off. You know, those are the things you always do a visual first.
Stand back and look at it first,
yeah,
right?
Electrical connections, you know, exactly. Even my boiler at home. You know, I pulled the control box off. I said, "Well, the thing stopped working. I had a spare. Put it on. Let me just take a look at it." Sure enough, yeah. I give it a quick sniff, give it the sniff test, and then sure enough, open it up, and electrical connections are burnt up.
There you go. Yeah. Right, and it could just be because nuts loosened up, and the resistance goes up, and then you get a you tighten it up, and it's fine. I'll tell you what, we're going to tighten up. We got one last break. We got to take care of a piece of business, and then we'll come up and wrap the show on Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino. Chris Switzer, we have Rich, Steve, and Christian in the studio, and we'll be back in a second. Keep it where you got it. We're going to go visit every woman loves our cars, right? So we'll play a little song for the women out there. Keep it where you got it, 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Yes, we are Jive Talking on 90.3 WHPC, and that is Chris Switzer on cowbell, by the way. Don't let yourselves be fooled. Live read, and he plays cowbell, too, so this man is a talent.
Not at the same time.
Boy, you never said that in 12 years of doing a show on me.
No, but I have said this. 516-572-7440. Pick up the phone. Call us. For crying out loud.
That is true.
Come on. True. Come on. Yes. Standing here talking to Ray.
I know. Yeah, Chris is talking to me. He's in my ears. He was in my. He's everywhere. He's in my sleep sometimes. And there he is on the line too.
Hi.
All right. Hey, so listen. Yeah, go on, Chris.
Go ahead. No, I just wanted to find out more about the club. I wanted to know what was going on with the Mopar Club as far as any events going on. What's going on in the future?
Well, we traditionally open the season with our Hot Rod Burger King in Bethpage. That's got a rich history of being a Hot Rod hangout. So usually, if we get lucky, end of March, but more like maybe first or second week in April is when we get going, you know. And then we always do our big Carlisle run. That's something we really look forward to every year. We usually have 50 or so registered cars. We're always trying to get more. We're trying to get that top prize. But that's our big event. We got the tent, the canopy, and we bring our barbecues and all that stuff. That's another labor of love. But we really look forward to that. If you can think about making it again this year, Chris, we'd love to have you.
Well, thank you so much. Yes. I was thinking about taking the trip down, the 4-hour trip, not with the 300 Newport 300. I still have manual brakes on that thing. So
you know, maybe I'm just getting old, but the last 3 years I've taken my Hellcat.
I believe it.
You know what it is? I need the reliability and the comfort. So, you know, I'm tired of breaking down in the middle of Manhattan, you know. And so we usually manage to get back on the road. I keep a lot of spare parts in the trunk, that's for sure. But the last couple of years have been, you know, take the modern vehicle.
How big of a caravan do you usually do, Rich? How many guys?
Everybody pretty much goes on their own. There is one guy, one club member that starts at the rest stop in Melville, and he winds up with usually a caravan of 6-8 guys.
That's good.
And they leave, I believe, on Friday morning, bright and early, and they take off. So that's always pretty cool, too, to go with other members. You know, hopefully somebody's got some spare parts with them, but it's always cool to go with members or go with somebody. You get stuck on the side of the road somewhere.
Sure.
The worst case scenario could take you to an auto parts store, or maybe he's got the parts in his car.
Yeah.
You know, I always kept a trunk load of parts. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one way to ensure you're never going to need them.
Yeah.
You know,
just exactly.
Carry a trunk load, you won't need them. That's for darn sure.
Right.
But very, very true. Very true. So what else, Mopar? I know we really didn't. You have a list of stuff, and I'm sure we haven't scratched it. You got anything left? We got about 9 minutes. We can.
We're always looking to do charitable events. We've done a few.
Mm-hmm.
We've done the veterans, the Boy Scouts, and the newest one we did this year was the old Sears in Hicksville. That was a that was a hangout. Actually, that has come back for a cruise night. I believe it's Tuesdays. But one of my members, he runs a great pet foundation there, the Pets for Love Foundation. We did our first one at Sears in Hicksville this year. It was very good. Dave did a great job, and it's a great cause. He even brought pets there to be adopted, and he's raising funds for, he was kicked out of a place here in, somewhere here in
Nashville. Actually did, right over here at Fortunoffs, we did a, we did a read for him. We did a couple things. We promoted that. And our good friend Cliff, who's a local guy, a Mopar guy, he, you know, the information came in from a couple different areas. So we definitely hit that one hard because that's that was a good cause, we thought. Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
But yeah, good to see us in Hicksville. Great parking lot. You know, there's so much room. I know. So much room. Boy, that parking lot used to be filled with all old cars.
I remember when that parking lot was being built, too.
Okay.
Sears was being built. And you and I go back, the Broadway Mall.
Oh,
do you
remember
what it was called in the day? Oh, this is really testing your memory.
Someone said that on the show a while ago, and it just predated me by a little bit because I wasn't from that area. I was down on the South Shore, so I
That might have been me.
The
Mid-Island Shopping Plaza.
Oh, Mid-Island Shopping Plaza, okay.
And I remember when it was an open plaza. It was not an enclosed air-conditioned mall.
Maybe we were talking about it because I know in the 70s I'd said I used to go to a place called My Pie. It was
a pizza
place that had a great stereo. So, we're talking history here, Christian. We go way back, you know.
Honestly, it kind of sounds like my dad and his brothers right now, talking about way back in the day.
Well, hang out with the old guys. That's what you're going to get, you know?
Yeah. Right. We have a great future behind us.
Exactly. Very true. Very true.
One would hope.
Yes, right, Chris? I know.
Yes, one would hope.
Yeah. So, and on Long Island, there's so much of that. There's so much rich history. And, you know, Chris is from Brooklyn. There's so much stuff out there. Whenever you get car guys together, this is what's going to happen because, you know, we kind of remember. You know, we want to keep it going. I'll tell you
can I ask a question to Christian?
Go ahead.
How'd you get the bug? How'd you get the bug? To get into cars. Like, what was the?
I just grew up in it.
First foray.
I just grew up in it. My dad always had something in the yard, especially that yellow Dodge Superb. It's just part of my life. It's just who I am.
Very cool.
That's good because you see so little of that, and I'm so really happy when I see the younger generation, instead of playing on cell phones and computers, they work with dad in the garage and tinker with the car. That's so great to see.
What do you think about the newer cars compared to what you grew up way back in the 60s and 70s?
Well, we could tinker. You guys, I kind of feel sorry for. There's just a limited amount of things you can do. I mean, you'll do your oil changes, your brake jobs, maybe spark plugs. But
LED lights.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We grew up, we had to basically rebuild our cars once a year maybe, you know. It's just to keep them on the road. So it was a whole different way of life. But, you know, you learned how to work on cars, and through that you knew how to work on the refrigerator in the house, and you could fix the toilet, and, you know, you had a mechanical sense, and a lot of guys had that, whereas today I find not as many people do because they don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, what do you do to fix a modern car? You plug it in the computer, go to a mechanic.
Right.
You get yourself a good scanner. That's the way it is. We had a dwell meter in the day.
Right, tack dwell.
But, you guys, it's a scanner. It's,
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I really love the new cars because imagine you get something with 700 plus horsepower. It's going to fire up every time, get somewhat decent gas mileage.
Right.
But I just got to say, there's something about those old hot rods.
Oh. Yeah. You know, we all have new and old cars, and I like my new ones and I like my old ones for different reasons.
Right.
It's a similarity, but there's just a visceral feel you get with an older car that you don't get with a newer one.
It's like a time machine.
It's almost like the new one, you know what it's going to do. The older one, you hope it's going to do it, because you never know what might happen. You know?
You're not pouring gas down the carburetor on a new car, right?
I say whenever I start my car, you know, two Priuses just cease. Yeah. They just cease to exist.
And what always kills me is the drivability of a new car. You remember the old cars, when it's cold out like this, you're taking off, and if the choke didn't open exactly as it should have, you were bucking.
You're stumbling.
You're all over the place.
Exactly.
Now it's like, wow, it's like, you know, I take off, it just goes. It doesn't, you know. Doesn't buck, doesn't do anything.
You hit it right on the head when you said you're going to take that trip, that four-hour trip in a Hellcat.
Right.
There's nothing that can really beat that. When you think about it, you have that 700 horsepower tap, and you have a four-hour trip. You have all the creature comforts in that car.
Oh, yeah.
And it still goes like stink.
Exactly.
You can't beat it. Over the 60s cars, it's just
the worst thing
shame.
My lady friend but said to me so was, could you please turn off the cooled seats? They're a bit much.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Well, I got to take this out. We're getting to the end of the show, and I want to talk about cooled seats here a bit, because I know Chris loves his cooled steering wheel. Chris, you're not going to be with us next week. You'll be traveling, right?
Yes, I'm actually going to be off and running, heading down to New Jersey.
Very good. And in your stead, we're going
to
have Christian from Long Island Racing, another Christian from Long Island Racing in the studio. We're going to talk motorcycles next week. We're going to switch it up a little bit and talk some stuff. So that's something people may want to. I was just talking to someone and said, hey, you haven't talked about bikes in a long time. I'm like, I know. Well, we'll get back to it. Yeah, we will. So that's next week. But anyway, so gentlemen, closing thoughts, because we only have a few minutes left. Where are we going?
We were talking about this going to Carlisle and then in the newer cars.
Yeah.
I like taking a C-body to Carlisle. They're comfortable.
Yeah.
One of mine has cruise control, air conditioning. Nice. They got nice big trunks, so you can put a lot of stuff in the trunk.
Do you have any resto mods?
No.
Okay.
Mainly stock stuff.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I got one very unusual C-body that always never fails to attract attention.
They will.
It's a 67 Monaco convertible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Four-speed. Triple
nice.
Black with power windows and power seat. Yeah.
Yes.
Canadian made.
There we go.
I call it my Mopar Oddity.
Okay.
And cool. I got a 67 Imperial Mobile nice. Director with a table that flips around. That's
right.
Kind of a unique piece. I got a personal plate that says
is
table
it a coupe
car.
Or sedan?
Coupe, Crown Coupe, 67.
Two-door or four-door?
Two-door, Crown Coupe.
Nice.
Nice.
With the Mobile
nice.
Director. They
Very
made about
cool.
200 of them.
Wow.
And I just got a couple of years ago a 67 Sport Fury convertible.
Very nice.
It only had 23,000 miles, all
wow.
original.
Wow.
And I took it to Carlisle twice. A great car to drive.
Sure.
A lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. That is cool. That's very cool. That's the thing.
Great C-bots.
Yeah, you talk Mopars, and most people do know the E's and the B's. Of course, the A's were the drivers everybody had. They were kind of almost like the expendable ones. But when you get to those C's, those are the ones that were. They were some really cool C bodies that a lot of people don't know exist.
And people didn't chop them up. They didn't put headers on them. They
right.
didn't, you know, put, you know, cut the wheel wells.
Right.
You know, they weren't. You know.
Exactly.
No. Instead, they just pulled the motors or demoed them.
Right. Well, right. Yeah. We have predicted a C-body resurgence here on Motor Mouth Radio. We've said that they're going to come back. They're going to come back strong. And we'll do what we can to help it out. So
they're a great bargain. They're
yeah,
a great
bargain. And parts are cheaper. Parts are cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's mm-hmm. the truth. They're the greatest bargain, I think, in the collectible automotive category right now.
Well, yep. now that we broke the story, that's going to change.
Get them now. Well,
none of mine are for sale.
Not right. So I tell you what, gentlemen, we are out of time. Kim is coming in to do Thunder Road, Best of Bruce Springsteen, and we're going to come back next week with Christian from Long Island Racing. Ray Guarino for Chris Switzer, for Rich, and for Steve, and for Christian. I thank you all for listening. I thank you guys for being with us today. And Chris, what do we always say?
Don't follow us home.
Excellent. We'll see you next week. More Motor Mouth Radio.
Bye.
Bye.
This show on 90.3.